Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here. Rob Brenton is here as well, taking you up until 6 o'clock. Coming up in exactly 1 hour, K-State fans, we continue to show you guys love as you get ready for your Sweet 16 matchup against the Michigan State Spartans. Kellis Robinette, who covers the Wildcats for the Kansas City Star, also the Wichita Eagle, he will be on the show coming up in exactly 1 hour. Congratulations to you guys for getting through the first weekend of the NCAA tournament. There are two more that we certainly hope that you get through. Let's start today's show by reminding you that during the commercial break, if you're caller number six, when you hear our Royals sounder, you'll be registered to win a four-pack of tickets plus a parking pass to opening day. You only got a handful of opportunities left to be registered for those tickets, so be sure to keep it locked in right here on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio. So let's start with the number one story, the top story, a little bit of breaking news. Mecole Hardman off the board. He has signed a one-year contract with the New York Jets to go play with, who we assume to be Aaron Rodgers. It is a one-year deal for Mecole Hardman with a chance to make $6.5 million. Now, we don't have all of the details. I don't know how much is guaranteed, what's its base, what's incentives. All we know is it's a one-year deal with a chance to make $6.5 million. A couple of things here as we get the show going today. Number one, the Chiefs did not want Mecole Hardman back on the team. You want to know how I know that? He just signed a one-year deal to play with a 39-year-old quarterback to make $6.5 million at the max contract. If the Chiefs wanted Mecole Hardman back, they could have had him back. Now, maybe you didn't want to give the guaranteed money to Juju Smith-Schuster. Juju got a little bit of money, right? Maybe that's not the market that you wanted to play in. You were certainly in the market for a wide receiver that you want that costs less than $7 million. You didn't want Mecole back. I believe it's what I've been saying this entire time, and I'm not bringing this up to pat myself on the back. It just seems obvious looking at their depth chart and looking at their roster. They have Mecole Hardman already. They spent a rookie contract and a pick on him last year in Sky Moore. All the things that you think Mecole Hardman can do, that's what you drafted Sky Moore to come in and do. And your hope and expectation is that his role expands and you use Sky Moore more in 2023. You spent a third-round pick for Kadarius Toney. He's still got 3 years left on his rookie contract. He's a better football player than Mecole Hardman is. He's a more athletic person. He's a bigger wide receiver. You've already fulfilled that role. You didn't need three guys to do two jobs. So you got two guys to do two jobs. You already have it. I don't think that there was room for Mecole on this team. There's room for him on the Jets. If you're the Jets and you're trying to build a roster to put around Aaron Rodgers and you're trying to give him as much weapons and more than what he had last year, you got Garrett Wilson. Jameson Williams plays for the Lions. You got Garrett Wilson. You got Alan Lazard. You go pick up Mecole Hardman. You got a good run game. You try to give your 39-year-old quarterback all the weapons in the world. That's what the Jets are doing. And not saying you don't want to do that for your Super Bowl MVP quarterback, but not when you think you've already had the job filled. And that's what the Chiefs do. I've said this entire time, I don't think it really made sense for Mecole to come back. I don't think that the opportunities are going to be there in Kansas City. If you sign a one-year deal at his age, you're hoping to put together a healthy, productive year and put yourself in line for a nice payday. I don't know if that was going to happen in Kansas City. So congratulations to Mecole Hardman. I know he has a kid on the way. Salute to him and his kid's mom. Good luck to him. This is football. It's a business. You'll take your compensatory pick for him signing with another team and you move forward. That's how this story was going to happen. That's how this story was going to be. That's how it was going to play itself out. So keeping with wide receiver, Juju Smith-Schuster was on radio station in Boston earlier today. He was asked why he chose the Patriots. Here was the answer that he gave.
Belichick, man, the guy, you know, just the want and the need and, you know, the position that I can fill there, you know, really, really brought my, like, caught my attention. And I felt that, like, that was the most thing, you know, like feeling wanted in a place where, you know, I played against, you know, a head coach where, you know, I have a lot of respect for. And I just think that that goes a long way.
I understand why people think that the opportunity to play with Patrick Mahomes trumps everything, or having the best chance to win a championship trumps everything. But listen to what Mecole or what Juju said there at the end. Going to a place that I feel wanted. Juju's contract did not break the bank by any means. He signed for good money. But if the Chiefs really wanted Juju Smith-Schuster to come back, he'd be back on the team. I believe the Chiefs made Juju an offer. That's what we heard. I think they made him an offer. They expected Juju to take a little bit of a discount to continue to play for the Chiefs. And Juju just declined. With his injury history and the volatility of the job that he has, I'm not going to fault somebody for taking guaranteed money and also going to a place in which they feel most wanted. So congratulations to Juju signing this deal with the New England Patriots. He goes to a team and has a chance to be their number one wide receiver. He goes to an offense that I think really fits his skill set. And I think Juju's going to put up numbers if he stays healthy this upcoming season. The same way that Jacoby Myers had pretty good seasons in New England. I think the same thing is very possible for Juju Smith-Schuster if he stays healthy with the New England Patriots. Last thing here on wide receiver, and we will get to the NCAA tournament here coming up in a bit and give you a chance to win a four-pack of tickets to opening day. Rob, don't you get the sense that a trade is coming for the Chiefs? Because I'm looking right now at all the wide receivers that are available in free agency. And you could be the most optimistic Chiefs fan alive, but you can acknowledge that there's not a whole lot of fruit left on the tree if you're trying to go get you a free agent wide receiver. If you want them to go get a free agent wide receiver the way that I do, if you deem that to be a need, and I think that's their number one need, there's not a whole lot of them left. Your best chance to get somebody is now probably in a trade. We keep saying that Veach has a plan and that they're waiting to take a big swing. Okay, that's perfectly fine. But doesn't it feel, based on the moves that we've seen, they didn't want to bring Juju back? His contract was basically the market. Juju didn't get overpaid. He didn't get underpaid. He got the current market for a low-end number two receiver and a high-end number three. He went for exactly what he's worth in the league. He didn't get a penny more than what he's worth or a penny less. He got exactly what I think he's worth in this league. The Chiefs didn't want to pay it. That's their decision. We just saw Mecole Hardman come off the board. That's a contract that they certainly could have offered if they wanted Mecole back. He didn't sign the deal. They don't have him back. He's going on to another opportunity. Doesn't it feel like a trade is coming up? I'm trying to really think about this thing and not overreact and just look at the parts that are available and follow this and Veach we trust in every single scenario. The only thing that's starting to make sense is they're anticipating on making a trade. I don't think that trade just has to be DeAndre Hopkins. I didn't foresee the Kadarius Toney trade happening, but that's probably their best option. If you don't want to spend what the market says that is worth for that position, and maybe you're not entirely set on waiting until the draft, and you don't want to trade a future one to move up enough to get one of those impact guys, doesn't it feel like there's a trade for a second-round pick that's around the corner? in the same way that we saw Devontae Adams get traded last year, the same way that we saw Tyreek Hill get traded, the same way that we saw A.J. Brown, and we know the Chiefs were interested in having Tyreek Hill and A.J. Brown on the team. They were interested in Tyreek Hill up until a certain point, and they were interested in A.J. Brown up until a certain point. Doesn't it just feel more and more that there's a trade that's possibly happening, that in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whenever it is, we get that breaking news that the Chiefs have made a trade? With all the draft picks that they have 10 draft picks. I don't think they're making all of those selections. I think you either use some picks to move up in the draft. I think you package a couple of picks to go get you a veteran wide receiver. It's just starting to look like more and more as you look at the wide receiver market that maybe the Chiefs are looking beyond that wide receiver market and plan on putting together a package to take a trade for a team that they're on the fence about paying their wide receiver, but the Chiefs aren't.
So you think the Chiefs could be plotting a Frank Clark type of trade? Remember, that was, I believe, the week of the draft, and it was a guy who was productive in the NFL, and there were questions that the Seahawks were going to pay him. You're thinking it's more that vein, a guy who's fits the Brett Veach special, young, in his prime, up and coming. I could see that. They have a ton of picks. They have a ton of draft capital, and me and you have agreed the DeAndre Hopkins hype has never made sense. I think as we go on and on, or Odell Beckham Jr. is not a Chief, I think a Frank Clark style of trade for a receiver could be more and more likely. I don't know who that player is. I don't know what team is going to give up on a receiver nowadays, especially in this NFL, but maybe Michael Pittman. I don't know. I'm just throwing names out there. But I could see a Frank Clark style of trade for wide receiver. I think that makes more sense than a DeAndre Hopkins style trade.
Yeah, that just, the more and more I'm just kind of thinking about it and trying to navigate this thing, someone sends in a text. D-Hop and Mike Evans are the names that I've heard floating around. Thoughts? We talked about DeAndre Hopkins enough at this point. I don't go check the podcast page. When it comes to Mike Evans, I mean, it's going to take an extension for Mike Evans. Mike Evans has 1 year left on his contract. I don't think the Chiefs are trading a draft pick for 1 year of Mike Evans. Could they trade for Mike Evans and get multiple years? That's certainly a possibility. But Mike Evans, to me, now I think it's different than falling in the DeAndre Hopkins mold, because DeAndre Hopkins was hurt last year, had the suspension, all of those things. Mike Evans is 30 years old. He ain't a young pup no more. The Chiefs just haven't made a history of training for a player like Mike Evans. Mike Evans will be 30 years old on August 21st. He'll be 30 when the season starts. How much would you trade for that player, especially given that he is in the final year of his contract? If I'm Mike Evans and you trade for me, we need to come to an extension that gives me more guaranteed money than I'm currently signed for. I'm not signing with you guys just for the 1 year, and then who knows, I'm back in free agency. No, I want a little bit of a guarantee. I want a little bit of a certainty that I'm going to be here. I've only played in one place my entire career if you're Mike Evans. So it's not that I think it's crazy or wild to go trade for Mike Evans. Just knowing that if you make a trade for Mike Evans, you are going to have to give him some guaranteed money and you're going to have to sign him to a contract extension. But it does feel like one of those kind of moves is possible. If they're not interested in DeAndre Hopkins, based on what we heard from Fesco, and they think that the number is too high on Odell Beckham, it leaves DJ Chark of the draft. That's what they're waiting for? DJ Chark of the draft? I just am starting to get that sense. I'm starting to get that feeling. I can't explain it. There's a trade coming. There's a third-round pick and a fifth-round pick coming for a veteran wide receiver that we're just not seeing. The plan just doesn't appear very clear to me. I'm trying to guess and hypothesize what I think the plan could possibly be, and that is the plan that's starting to make more and more sense for me. Coming up in the commercial break, be listening to The Drive. When you hear the Royal Sounder, be caller number 6 to get registered for a 4-pack of tickets plus a parking pass to opening day. We will announce the winner tomorrow. So when you hear this sounder during the commercial break,
we're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
So not now. During the commercial break, you will hear that sound again, and then you call 913-586-7610. 913-586-7610. Coming up on the other side, there is a debate happening about college basketball right now that I am starting to become more and more open to. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
You're listening to The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
You're telling me right now that you can be a 41-year-old man with three kids, good, well-paying job, and you can eat corn dogs? No.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
There's a story right now on ESPN.com. The headline reads as follows. How do we get more mid-majors into the NCAA tournament? The first paragraph of the story from my guy Bill Conley, hashtag MIZ, reads as follows. No 16 seed had ever beaten a number one seed in the tournament until 2018. Now it's happened twice. In the first 28 tournaments, so from 1985 through 2012, there had only been four 15 seeds to win a game. It has now happened seven times, a 15 over a two in the last 11 tournaments. Only one 15 seed had reached the Sweet 16 up until 2013. So Florida Gulf Coast, they were the first 15 seed to win two games. It's now happened three consecutive tournaments. And Princeton, if they win against Creighton, they will be the second 15 seed in consecutive years to find themselves in the Elite Eight. So we talked about this over the course of the last week or so. Parity right now in college basketball is as strong as it's ever been before. So the conversation has come up. Is it time to expand the NCAA tournament? And I'm really torn with this. I'm torn because of a couple of different reasons. I think there's enough good basketball teams to justify it. If you increased the number of teams that made the tournament and you went from 68 and you did something radical, like you got in the 70s or 80s, I think there's enough good college basketball teams to justify it, certainly at the mid-major level. How many times do we see that a team is a favorite in a conference tournament, they don't win the conference tournament, and all that they have worked for in those first 31 games are for nothing because they didn't win one game in their conference tournament. Now, you would create an avenue for all of those teams to be able to get in. You would increase chances for teams at the low end of Power 5 schools to make it. Every team from the Big 12 could potentially make the tournament. More teams from the SEC. More teams from Power 5 conferences. So I don't have a question on whether or not there are enough good teams that you could expand the NCAA tournament and in my mind not water down the actual basketball quality of the tournament. But I think it could do two terrible things and why I think it's ultimately a bad idea. Number one, I don't think the college basketball season has a lot of juice as it is.
You want to talk about completely killing the regular season of college basketball? Let everybody make the tournament. Like, there's still now is that, oh, well, you got to watch bracketology. Oh, well, who's on the bubble? Who's not on the bubble? There's still a little bit of intrigue to it. Who cares about the bubble if 96 teams make the tournament? If 96 teams make the tournament, there is no more bubble. You don't have anybody. I don't think you have anybody to blame now if you make the NCAA tournament. You really don't have anybody to blame if 96 teams get into the dance. It ain't even a dance no more. It certainly doesn't feel exclusive if you make the tournament. And maybe this is just a silly thought. I don't know if you guys would fill out brackets if 96 teams made it. Now, I don't fill out brackets. I don't care how many teams are in the tournament. I ain't filled out a bracket since I was in high school. It's not really something I do. But I know a lot of you fill out brackets. You guys would fill out a bracket for 96 teams? Like, part of the excitement now is, well, there's four regions. And it's easy to fit on one sheet of a paper. It wouldn't be that easy to fill out 96. It'd be a lot more work to do that. I don't think they can do it. I think it kills two important things about college basketball. I identify that the regular season is losing important. I mean, it's still important in determining seed and who makes the NCAA tournament. And I don't know if you could kill, other than the actual watching the basketball part, the other part is the brackets and following it and keeping up and who's your upset and who's going to the Final Four and all of those things. That's what makes the tournament so fun. I don't know if it would be fun if they just added 30 more teams into the mix. Sure, you get more basketball, be better on television, be more chaos, more buzzer beater, more shots. It will be all of those things. I don't know if the bracket filling out experience would be as good. And there'd be no point for regular season basketball games. And what are we doing here? Everybody makes a tournament. Let's just put all 10 Big 12 teams in there. Let's put all the SEC teams. Let's get our handful of mid-majors. Let's just skip to the end. I don't think they can do this. I think they devalue one of the great things that they have.
On top of everything you said, because you're 1,000% correct, are we sure the committee would then, you know, chalk the tournament full of more mid-majors and more small conferences? Or does Oklahoma State, for example, they were a bubble team this year. They just missed. They're in the NIT. Or does Oklahoma State take one of those spots? And suddenly the tournament at 96 doesn't feature the third best team from the MEAC, which could be fun and upsets and da-da-da. It now features the ninth best team from the Big 12, the 11th best team from the Big 10, Team 12 from the SEC. I don't know that adding teams automatically means the committee is going to lean in and say, let's get Cinderella a chance. Because for all the greatness of the tournament, and there's a lot of greatness, the flaw the tournament has is the committee, when it's picking at-large teams, looks at resumes, and every resume of a Power 5 team is better than that of an at-large, of a mid-major team, excuse me, for the at-large spot. So I'm concerned moving to 96 doesn't give us more fun, plucky Fairleigh Dickinson stories. It gives us more Oklahoma State loses in first round to St. John's stories, which who cares?
I think it's going to be a combination of the two. I don't disagree with what you're saying. That's certainly what would happen. They would create a scenario in which more Oklahoma States make the tournament, more St. John's make the tournament, more teams that finish under 500 in power conferences would make this new tournament. There's no doubt. They're not expanding the tournament to make it more fair for St. Joe's. That's not why they're doing it. But in theory, more of those teams would make it too. So if there's 30 extra spots, let's say they give 20 to Power 5 teams, and then there's 10 spots for the other one. Out of those 10 other teams, three of those teams would make a run. Four of those teams would make a run. And that's in addition to the teams that are already going to make it, that are already going to. Princeton would still be in this tournament, yet Yale would be in here, the team that they lost to in the Ivy League championship. So I do think that both masters would get served here. The bigger schools, they'd see more of their teams make it. And the tournament would also be more equitable for those smaller one big leagues that only get one team to make the tournament. Now you got a chance to get two. Now you can be 31-5. You can lose in the conference championship, and you still feel like you have a chance to make the NCAA tournament. I just don't know if that's what the public wants. And maybe it doesn't matter.
I don't think the public wanted the NFL playoffs expanded. They expanded the playoffs, and the ratings are good. Like, I don't think that you guys are not going to watch the NCAA tournament if they expand anymore. They probably will expand it. I will say that the tournament won't be as fun if that's what they do. If they expand the NCAA tournament, the regular season and the tournament will not be as fun. You will watch it. It will still be profitable. You'll still bet on it. No one is denying that or debating that. It will be less fun. I don't think that the 18-week schedule did not add anything to the NFL. Didn't add anything. It's the same. It's more. It's as enjoyable as it was. And I think what we saw, at least in the NFL, toward the end was it created a little bit of a negative effect. Those last 2 weeks of the NFL regular season felt sort of meaningless. Some teams are completely out of it. Guys are getting shut down. Teams are resting. I thought it created more negatives than positives. But the ratings are good. The NFL can do what they want. I would say that the NCAA tournament has a lot of NFL feeling, and it's such a popular sporting event. It feels like they can do whatever they want, and America's still going to be tuned in. I would be really careful about tweaking the balance of people's enjoyment of filling out the brackets. Is that part of it? I'd also be really leery about completely devaluing your regular season.
I would imagine the regular season gets devalued, but let me just play devil's advocate for the fun of it. That's kind of my role on this show. Do you think in a tournament that has 96 teams, teams be more likely to schedule massive tectonic level non-con matchups because there's essentially no penalty for losing them? Do you think in Oklahoma, for example, a team that missed tournament this year, would schedule a Tennessee? Because if you lose to Tennessee in, you know, November, no harm, no foul. But if you win, now well, your resume is boosted. You might see a team like Missouri this year play not nine runovers and then Kansas in their non-con. They might play five runovers and then Kansas, Gonzaga, UCLA. Because if 96 teams are making it, you don't get punished for the losses as long as your strength of schedule looks good. Could it, like college football's hoping, lead to better non-con matchups?
We could possibly see that being the case. Someone asked the question on the text line, the only way this works is mini tournaments for the play-in spots. One seeds aren't going to be playing in the round of 96. I don't think that's a bad idea. When would you do this? You also have to factor this in, and I think this is really, really important. There is a certain time frame that CBS also wants this done because of the Masters. That's important to do, too. That let's say you push the start of the NCAA tournament back a week. Let's say you push it back 1 week, and in that week before, you have a mini tournament with all these other teams until we actually get to the round of 64. How often is that going to coincide with the Masters? And that is the one thing we know CBS, they love. CBS every 4 years has the opportunity of having the Super Bowl lead you right into March Madness that leads you right into the Masters. So CBS also wants this done under a certain time frame too. They also want it done wrapped up pretty succinctly. Hey, we got 3 weekends. I don't know if they want 4 weekends of the NCAA tournament. I don't know if they want a month of the NCAA tournament on their network. I don't know. I can't speak for CBS, but I know how important the Masters is to them. And having all of this done before the Masters. Because if you think about it, let's say that you push it back this 1 year. Let's say you push it back. They would want the Final Four weekend to be on Easter weekend? I don't think they want that. So I do think there is a little bit of a balance, a little bit of a give and take on what they would like to do. Rob, what did you say? What's the update?
I've just been alerted by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dean Wade will join the show momentarily.
Dean Wade's about to call in.
Dean Wade's about to call in.
All right, let's do this. Let's take a break here. We'll play our sounder. So 913-586-7610. When you hear the sounder, we'll give you a chance to win Royals tickets. And then when Dean Wade is back, we'll be back. Look at that. Everybody wins. If you stick through the break, you get a chance to win Royals tickets. And when the commercial break ends, we'll talk to one of the best players in Kansas State history. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison and friend of the show, Andy Reid.
I can't believe you're waiting that long for that question.
Brought to you by the DePasquale Moore Law Firm. Remember, Mike's got this. Weekdays 2 to 6 on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Download the Odyssey app and listen to The Drive with Carrington wherever you are.
We're very excited to be joined by our next guest. He was first team All Big 12 in 2018 and 2019. He was Mr. Basketball in Kansas in 2015. He currently plays for Rob's favorite basketball team, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Dean Wade joins us on the show today. Dean, how's it going, man?
It's going good. It's going good. How are you guys?
We're doing great, man. How cool is it to see your alma mater making a run in this tournament?
Oh, man, it's awesome. It's awesome. Nothing better than being able to talk as much trash to your teammates as you want.
Which teammate are you have you been talking trash with?
All of them, really. I like to, especially like Jarrett Allen, you know, Texas alum. I know they're still fighting too, but it's always nice to just be able to throw that out there every once in a while.
I was doing a little reading on your bio as you were scheduled to come on the show today. Did you ever have a choice of where you wanted to go? Because I'm reading out of it. You grew up in a small town in Kansas. Your dad went to K-State. I'm not even sure if you went to go visit anywhere else.
Yeah, I had a few other options, but K-State was definitely my biggest offer, and I took my visit, man, and it was meant to be.
What was it like when you finally got that call that you were going to be a Wildcat?
Man, it was a dream come true. Really was. It was, you know, I was with my parents and it all went down. And man, I was so excited. I couldn't sleep that night. I was called everyone I knew. It was amazing. It really was a dream come true.
I just remember watching you play in college and just seeing how your game just really grew over time. Was there that moment where things sort of started to click for you where you realized that you could play at this level and you eventually had a chance to get to where you are right now and having a very successful NBA career?
Yeah, I think my freshman year of college had a pretty good few games. And then I think what really kind of you know, especially for me, was when I got all newcomer team in the Big 12. And that's really when I realized, like, oh, this, I can really play at this level. And then my sophomore year, was playing really well, was like leading the Big 12 and scoring for a little bit of the opening half of the Big 12. So I think my freshman sophomore year was when I realized I could really make maybe get paid to play this game.
Right now, we're talking to Dean Wade. He went to K-State. K-State finds themselves in the Sweet 16. They'll be playing Michigan State tomorrow. Dean, if somebody didn't see you play in college and you were going back on YouTube and you wanted to show them how good of a college basketball player you were, what game would you show them to show how great of a college player you were at K-State?
I think I might have to go Iowa State my junior year or Baylor my senior year. Baylor, Oklahoma, my senior year. Either one of those games, probably.
Right now, we're talking to Dean Wade here for a couple of more minutes. Dean, have you got a chance to talk to this current team? Have you got an opportunity to catch up with Jerome Tang? I know you're busy with your own individual season. What's been your contact like with this current team?
So, you know, I was in Manhattan a while this summer, and I met those guys, met all the new guys. This summer, you know, they're a great, great staff, great people. Everyone I met was super welcoming and, you know, obviously knows the game really well. So, but through the season, you know, it's been hard to keep up with like a lot of those guys, and obviously not having a relationship before this year is tough. But, you know, I'd keep in contact with them, you know, probably get some text messages here and there probably every couple weeks. And then maybe a Zoom call here and there with the team. So, keep in contact with them a little bit.
I was just going to ask you that because you played for Weber and now the coaching change and that crossover. I was curious of how much Tang has really reached out to guys like you. I mean, you're a guy that one day should have your name up in the rafters. Like, you should be up there with Jacob Pullen and Michael Beasley. You're one of the best players that ever played at that university. It sounds to me like, at least over the summer, that they did reach out and try to have you come back and have you talk to these current guys.
Yeah, I mean, they were, like, super welcoming. I mean, like, he always said, you know, right when he got there, I was like, yeah, it's all right if I, you know, work out here for – he's like, man, this is your home as much as it's mine. Whenever you want to come in, man, it's all yours. And so, I mean, he was always super nice, super welcoming. You know, even talking to him, man, he's so funny. He's a funny guy. And, you know, didn't even feel like we were strangers. I mean, I felt like I knew him, like, my whole life felt like.
Right now, we're talking to Dean Wade. Dean Wade played at Kansas State from 2015 to 2019. He currently is in the NBA. Dean, which one were you more nervous for? Were you more nervous for your first college game or your first NBA game?
First college game, by far. That was the most nervous I think I've ever been, was my first college game.
Who was it against?
My first college game. Was an exhibition against Fort Hays, and I was so nervous. I almost threw up before the game. I was so nervous. But, you know, once you get on the court, all the nerves kind of go away. But, man, I still remember this day. I was walking out there, and I've never been that nervous my whole life.
When you got to the NBA, who was the guy that you went up against? Like, what was your welcome to the NBA moment?
My welcome to the NBA moment probably is a little different because I was on the same team as the guy. So my rookie year, we're in practice. One of the first practices of the training camp, and my team is up two, and I'm guarding Kevin Love, and he comes off a screen, does this little bump, bumps me off, shoots a three for the game, and then just smiles at me and just pats me on my back as he runs by, and gave me, and that was like my first really welcome to the NBA moment was in practice. My first one in the game, though, my rookie year, I went in and I was guarding Julius Randle, and so like I've been sitting on the bench for a long time, and you know, he's been playing. First possession, I come in, they go ISO right at the elbow, and that's that was my welcome to the NBA moment.
I was going to say, like, Kevin Love, like, that was probably a player that when you were coming up, you kind of looked at his game and tried to copy a lot of it, like a bigger guy who could kind of step out and shoot threes, put the ball on the floor. Like, Kevin Love is, like, a really good example of sort of, like, what your ceiling is as a player.
Yeah, I mean, that's who I always looked up to. I mean, I watched so much film on him in college that when, you know, I actually met him, I was, like, I was, like, starstruck almost.
That is our guy, Dean Wade, joining us on the show today. Dean Wade played for K-State from 2015 to 2019. He currently is on the Cleveland Cavaliers, and he's here to celebrate the Wildcats making the Sweet 16 in a game up against Michigan State. Dean, congratulations for all your success, man, and playing in the NBA. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. That's Dean Wade joining us on the show today. Dean Wade currently plays for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Somehow that's Rob's favorite team. Rob's favorite teams are the Kansas Jayhawks, the Chiefs, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, not the LeBron Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, still follows the team to this day. Dean Wade's one of your favorite players. I know you were starstruck on the phone talking to him.
Listen, Dean's a vital part of what could be the best team in the Eastern Conference. People are talking. I mean, Giannis and them might have the best record and blah, 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 but they haven't run into a beast like Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, Dean Wade, and Danny Green yet. We're coming.
Are you guys going to make the playoffs this year?
They're going to be the four seed. They're going to have home games in the playoffs.
I wasn't sure. I was just asking. I'm making sure. I can't check to make sure that you're keeping up with the Cavs.
It's going to be a first-round matchup against Pete Sweeney's Knicks. I can't wait to go to the Kelly's in Westport and be the only two people that care about those games. It's going to be great.
Also, at least he's well-versed in playing Madison Square Garden. That's
fair.
How many historic basketball venues do you think there are? This is a good question. It's a good segue. Because there are a lot of people that believe that Madison Square Garden is the most famous basketball arena in the world. I don't really know where that comes from other than the fact that it's in New York, but that's what a lot of people believe. It is the most famous arena, the most famous basketball court in the world. How many of those other places exist? Because I would argue that there's two in New York City. Rucker Park is one of those kind of places. If you have played basketball at any level, you've heard about Rucker Park and you have wanted to play basketball at Rucker Park. So I think Rucker Park is on that list as well. So I would put there. I'd put Madison Square Garden. I also think Staples Center should be on this list. The house that Kobe and Shaq built. So many iconic memories have happened in that building. I think Staples Center is just West Coast, Madison Square Garden. Everything that that venue has, the one on the West Coast has as well. And there's probably four in college. Cameron Indoor Stadium, Hinkle Fieldhouse, Allen Fieldhouse.
I think that's it for
Rupp
college.
Arena?
I don't have
that. Is that maybe the – is it maybe seven of them?
You feel – Rucker Park seemed like cheating to me. I get what you're saying about Rucker Park, but I don't imagine it as like a basketball venue per se. Like, I get what you're saying and I wouldn't argue it, but Rucker Park seems a little like cheating to me, but I don't have Rupp on that list. Rupp is just full. That's the only thing about Rupp that's special is it's full. There are a lot of college basketball arenas that are full. They're not special.
I don't think it's as many full college basketball.
It's like Bud Walton Arena. Bud Walton Arena isn't special. It's just full.
But this is where I think you're a little bit biased because of the team that you cheer for. Everybody's college basketball venue is not full for every game the way that yours is. That's a really small number of places. Kansas State basketball is not full all the time. Even this year when they were good. Most teams, I would say, are like how K-State is. K-State is really full for big games and weekend games. But if they play a game on a Tuesday that ain't popping, people ain't coming. That's just how college basketball is. No shade towards K-State. Missouri's the same way. There's a lot of places that are like that. There's a bunch of places that are like that. That's what makes Allen Fieldhouse, I think, so different. That's what makes Cameron so different. Is it is full for that random Texas Tech game on a Tuesday. That's not the case everywhere else. So when you say, well, Rupp isn't special, it's just full, the fact that it's full all the time makes it special. There's some Allen Fieldhouse games that are different than others. I've been to Allen where it's been through the roof. KU, K-State. I mean, the energy level is picked up. I've also been there when they play Texas Tech on a big Monday, and it ain't like live. It ain't jumping. It ain't through the roof. But it's still a really good college basketball environment. So that's where I think you're being a little bit critical from your crimson and blue tower, and you're looking down on these other venues and saying, it's not special, it's just full. Well, that's part of what makes it special.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like Allen Fieldhouse still has that, you know, oh man, this like is a historic moment. You got the Hall of Fame, you got the whole deal. Rupp, you walk in, it's like going to T-Mobile Center, but everything's blue. It's just, it has a very sterile environment, just full. I would say, no offense to Gonzaga, they might be in the Big 12 one day. I'd welcome them with open arms. Gonzaga's full most every game. No one thinks Gonzaga's arena is historic. Pauley Pavilion in UCLA, it's full more times than not. Do people talk about Pauley Pavilion that way or Assembly Hall at Indiana? Those places are full, but they're more historic to me than Rupp, and I don't have them on the all-time list.
You think it's a little hateration because it's Kentucky? I'm just asking, you think it's a little hateration? I know how you feel about Kentucky. I know you don't like Kentucky. You got a little hateration. A little bit. You don't think that's seeping in a little bit and not calling Rupp and putting it on that list? Because what makes Rupp different than North Carolina? What makes Rupp different than Duke? I think they're the same. I think they're all in that same group. I think they're all in that same tier.
So hold on, you have the Dean Dome on this list now too?
Yeah, I'd probably put North Carolina.
You're just putting every good team on the list.
I didn't put Gonzaga on the list. I didn't put them on the list. I didn't put Arizona on the list. Arizona's been good. Arizona's been good for most of our life. You don't even know the name of their arena.
Isn't it Lute Olson Arena?
I don't know what it is. It's like it could be the Wells Fargo Center. I don't know the name of that place. Let me ask you another one. How about where the Celtics play? Do we think that counts? I know it's not the old building, but if you had to rank NBA places, it's certainly near the top. What do you think about adding Boston on this list and adding their arena? Especially when you look up there and you see all the banners that are up there. I mean, Larry Bird's name is up there. Bill Russell's name is up there. Havlicek. Kevin McHale. How about adding Boston on this group?
I'm going to say no to Boston because I think Boston is similar to L.A. in the fact the old arena did all the winning. But the difference is at Staples, you had Kobe. At Staples, you had LeBron. At Staples, you had Shaq. You had Phil Jackson. You had two basically dynasties. In the new Boston arena, you had the big three, which won, what, a title? A singular title? And yeah, Kevin Garnett will probably go into the rafters and the whole deal. But the historic moments, the one where it's like, ooh, like, wow, Havlicek played here, Russell played here, Larry Bird played here, that arena is no more. So I would say the current arena for Boston does not go up on the list. I also think if you share your arena with a hockey team, it should be knocked down a peg.
Okay. I mean, that's Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have Madison Square Garden. I didn't have Staples on my list, by the way. We argued behind the scenes about Staples because the Clippers also play there. No one goes there to see Paul George. I guess he's hurt because it's the play.
Again, he's normally
the
hurt.
Playoffs are looming. Of course he's hurt. Let me rephrase that. No one's going there to see Kawhi Leonard.
Can I read a story to you really quickly?
Please.
There were two Virginia inmates, and they broke out of jail. Now, they broke out of jail using a toothbrush to dig a tunnel under their cell wall. Now, I don't know how long this took. I don't know. But they say that these two men, they use primitive-made tools constructed from a toothbrush and a metal object to break open their cell wall and access unsecured parts between the walls. They then used all of this to break a small hole and they climbed through. They had made it. They were free. These two men escaped from prison. Well, they got caught about 7 miles away. What are they doing when they get caught? They were at IHOP. These two men, Andy Dufresne, broke out and were free. They were free men. They went to the local IHOP. How can you have such a well-thought-out plan, but then not really seem to have a plan once you get out? Like, what was so cool about Shawshank Redemption is Andy really had a plan. Andy had a plan of how he was going to get out of jail. And then those first 24 hours when Andy is out of Shawshank, oh, he had a plan in motion of how he was going to really be free. You broke out for a Rudy Tootie Fresh and Fruity? Did you have a change of clothes? Like, I need more information on this to me. Now, I love IHOP. Don't get me wrong. But you did all this to go to IHOP? I mean, you weren't even in there for nothing serious. You were really going to get out. I'm sitting here reading it. I mean, they were in for like credit card fraud, credit card larceny, forgery. We ain't talking about these guys were murderers or killers or nothing. They were in there for a Bitcoin scam. They went to IHOP? IHOP? If they had escaped to a Waffle House, they'd probably still be free. They would have blended in real well at Waffle House. They'd have looked like regulars. IHOP a little more upscale, a little more family friendly. A little bit more family friendly. The IHOP people couldn't wait to call the police and turn these two gentlemen in. I just want to know, Rob, how you break out of prison to then go to IHOP. I've never been to jail before, but if I broke out of jail, you know where you would not catch me. You got me the first time. Whatever you did, you captured me the first time. Now we're playing the greatest game of hide and seek that has ever been had. If I broke out of jail and I escaped, and you guys are like, oh man, former radio host is now in jail. Now he's escaped. There's a manhunt out for him. You know where you're gonna find me? In the wilderness somewhere. You're gonna catch me on a mountain somewhere, living off the land. I'm not going back. I've seen what it's like on the inside. I don't want to go. You would not catch me at the IHOP. That's not where I would be. It's not where I would be found.
Listen, I'm a big IHOP guy. I mean, we talk on the show all the time. You're either an IHOP, a Denny's, or Waffle House person. I'm an IHOP person. I got nothing but love for the IHOP. But if I'm on the run from the police, if I'm on the run after breaking out of prison, you know what I'm doing? A drive-through. Efficiency is key
here. You
gotta get
something quick. Yeah, you gotta get something quick.
I can't be sitting down and being seen by people. And I'm probably on the news. I'm probably on social media. It's probably, hey, Rob Brinton has escaped from prison. I can't be in a place where there are people. And if there's one thing 24/7 IHOP always has, people. People are always around. You know who's not going to recognize me? The guy at the McDonald's line. I'm in, I'm out, I'm moving on. These criminals clearly weren't bright because they sat down and had a meal like it was a nice Sunday brunch. That's what dummies.
That's what it says. It says these two people were captured at a pancake at IHOP 7 miles from the jail. There's an IHOP that close to the jail right down the street. 7 miles. That's right off the exit.
They're basically staring out the window looking at it for weeks.
I mean, 7 miles, that probably took you what? Probably, how long do you think it takes you to walk 7 miles? How long do you think it takes you? Probably like an hour?
I'd say like an hour. Yeah, if you're moving.
Maybe a little bit more. I don't know. Some of the texts, I'm sure they're going to tell you exactly how many minutes it would take. But yeah, it probably took you an hour.
Maybe a little less. I mean, they're probably moving pretty quick. I mean, they just escaped prison.
And the IHOP. It's not like the IHOP is like by itself. It's normally around other things, you know? It's like an area where you can, you know, there's IHOP and then there's a McDonald's down the street. They don't just put these restaurants just in the middle of nowhere. They're normally around things. I don't know if this is a well thought out plan of how to escape and how to see freedom. I don't know if that was the case. All right, coming up on the other side, let's get back to talking about Mecole Hardman and the Kansas City Chiefs. So Rob asked me a good question earlier today. On what draft grade would I give Mecole Hardman's draft? We'll go through the picks, and I'll tell you my answer on the other side. Plus, we'll give you a chance to continue to be registered for opening day passes. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.